Psalm 46. And I've entitled this message, A Sea of Fear, But a River of Gladness. A Sea of Fear, But a River of Gladness. Now, the Scripture says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. My first point is this, a sea of fear. The apostle says, we shall not fear. We shall not fear what? He says, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried where? In the midst of the sea, though the waters of the sea roar and are troubled. Now, the sea in Scripture pictures trouble. Usually it pictures trouble. It could either picture the trouble of this mutable, changeable world, the trouble of our enemies. The sea is often in Revelation pictured as nations, anti-Christian nations. And so we know this, that the world is set against God, it's set against us, and it is troubling to God's people. Sometimes providence seems like a sea of trouble. I believe over in Psalm, Psalm 93, it says, the floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice, the floods have lifted up their waves. The providence, circumstance often seems like a flood of trouble, like the waves of the sea overwhelming us. And yet the apostle says we should not fear, though the trouble be so great as to remove the whole world. As though the trouble should take the mountains and carry them in the sea, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. But there's a greater trouble than providence. There's a greater trouble than the world. There's a greater trouble that men face. It is the sea of God's justice. The sea of God's holiness. We know this, that the sea is in Scripture is likened unto God's wrath. You remember our Lord Jesus Christ said, the waters are come into my soul. What was that? It was the justice of God. It was the wrath of God that had come in like a flood on him. He said, I am overwhelmed. I sink in the deep mire. When he had our sins imputed to him, it was the sea of God's wrath that flooded his soul. But yet we are encouraged. Whether it's a sea of trouble, whether it's the sea of humanity, whether it's a sea of our enemies, a sea of our sin, whatever it is, God has here given you a comforting word. Don't fear. Why? God is our refuge. God is our refuge. No matter how dreadful, no matter how horrible the things may appear, God says this, I am thy refuge. Thy refuge. I'll tell you this, the sea of God's justice is a fearful thing. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And I'll tell you this, every one of you, anyone who is outside of Christ, if you do not have a refuge in Christ, you will face the full measure of God's wrath. You will face the full measure of this sea. If you were to go to Romans, I'm not going to tell you to go there. I'm just going to give you a brief synopsis of this. In Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, he says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. He said the wrath of God is revealed. How? By the things that are seen. They know that God is. They know that God is just. They know that judgment is coming. Men by nature know this. And yet, what did they do? They did not worship God as God, but worshiped the creature rather than the Creator. They refuse even to acknowledge His existence. They fight against their own nature, their own conscience, knowing there is a God. They say within themselves, there is no God. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. That's a fool. And later on in that chapter, Paul said, who knowing the judgment of God, knowing the judgment of God, and yet they still commit sin. They still do that which is evil. They still commit such things that are worthy of death. Therefore, you know what Paul said in chapter 2, verse 1? He said, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. All men know there's a God, and they know the justice of God is coming. They know this in themselves. The law of God is written in the heart of every man. They know evil. They know sin. And yet they still, in rebellion, mock at this sea of God's wrath, the sea of His justice. The sea of God's justice is against all unrighteousness. It is against all sin, and God must and will punish all sin. Yet, men, natural man, he stands like a high mountain against God. He stands firm. He seems so firm. Isn't that you look at the lost and they mock at the justice of God? You know who? This text is written to God's people. We have a refuge. But yet, I'll tell you this, when I think of the justice of God, I fear. I fear. Therefore, Paul said this, knowing therefore the terror of God, what do? We persuade men. We persuade men. Come to Christ. Come to the refuge. If we really believe in the justice of God, if we really believe the wrath of God, would we not be more zealous concerning this? We would. I mean, friends, our family, our friends are falling off into hell. What is our purpose here? Our purpose is to compel them to come in. Now, we know this. We can't save one of them. But that's not our business, is it? Our business is to declare the gospel to them. Our business is to call them in. Why? Because the justice of God is coming, friends. It will consume them for eternity. And yet, what do? They stand firm. They don't even move. They don't have any, yeah. You know, Asaph, he was jealous of this. God's people are often jealous of the wicked because they're firm, aren't they? They're sure of themselves. We're not so sure of ourselves, are we? We're often skittish and fearful and troubled. And you look at the world and they seem so sure. He said, I was envious at the foolish and the prosperity of the wicked. Why? There's no bands in their death. They don't fear like other men, like God's people. They're not troubled. They're not troubled by matters of eternity. Are you troubled by matters of eternity? You are believers, you are. The apostle said, make your calling and election sure. And every believer does that. We desire to know that we know we are in Christ, because I must be in Him. He's the refuge. I desire not to be found in my own righteousness, but in the righteousness of Christ. I don't want to be cast away. And yet the world stands like a mountain. They're not troubled. Believers are at times greatly troubled at the circumstances of life. I know at times we see the wicked stand so firm and our faith is so weak. We have the truth, and yet what? We're so fickle. God's people, like sheep, God used sheep, and that's a good illustration of us. Dumb animals. They're just dumb. You ever see a sheep jump through a hoop? You just don't. I mean, they're just incapable of taking care of themselves. They have to have the shepherd. Our faith is so weak and we are at times troubled. But we know, but when we come to the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's only then you see their end. You know, and only then does that envy go away. No matter how firm they stand, the world, no matter how firm they seem in this world, soon death and hell will swallow them up. Soon the earth will be removed. Peter said that it shall be burned up. God's wrath will burn this world up, not to destroy it, but to purify it. And this world be consumed. And yet what do men do? They mock, they scoff. They make for themselves a refuge of lies. They say, the overflowing scourge shall not come nigh to me. God says, soon you'll see the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself out on. The covers too narrow. Too narrow. The sea of God's judgment will cast down the mountains of man's reason. The high mountains of this religious world will be cast under the sea of God's justice. Soon the angels shall cry, Babylon the Great is fallen. Soon it will fall, and the justice of God, like a sea, will cover men. He will consume them in His wrath. Soon. But my text gives me a comforting hope, even against the wrath of God. God is our refuge. God is our refuge. You that have fled to Christ, you have fled to Him for what? A refuge. A refuge. Christ is our refuge because Christ, the Son of God, has come to save His people. He came and fulfilled everything that God required of His people. Everything the Word of God said He would do, He did. The seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent. Guess what He did? He crushed the head of the serpent. How? By bruising His heel. God promised He would, and He did. He should be born of a virgin. He should be born in Bethlehem. He should be of the seed of David. All of that's done. All of that's accomplished. He was promised to fulfill righteousness. In Isaiah chapter 42, He said, He shall magnify the law and make it honorable. Isn't that what He did? He magnified the law and made it honorable. The Word of God said that He should come and offer Himself a sacrifice for sin. The Scripture says it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Isaiah 53. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him, to put His soul to grief. He shall see of the travail of His soul and be satisfied. He was crucified, and then He was what? Raised from the dead according to the Scriptures. What does that mean? That all Christ accomplished as our refuge, all the salvation that He accomplished, righteousness, redemption, justification, everything. How do I know he did that? How do I know God accepted it? Because God raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead and set him on the right hand of the majesty on high and gave him all dominion and power, even as he promised. The Lord said unto my Lord, what? Sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. See, God had already purposed him to be our refuge, to accomplish everything for us. So then, you who believe on him, you that believe on him, we believe on him by the power of the Holy Spirit in the resurrection of our souls. You've experienced the power of God. Do you believe on Christ? That's the evidence of the power of God in the resurrection of your soul. The new birth is your faith. You believe on him, and he is your refuge. What is he your refuge from? People like to say, well, I believe in Jesus, and, you know, they think he's some kind of grandfather, just gives out gifts like money and houses and cars and things like that. No, I believe on Christ for a refuge. A refuge from what? Trouble in this world? No. No. We have trouble in this world. He even told you you'd have trouble in this world. A refuge from God. He saved you from the wrath of God. That's what he saved us from. Remember Noah's ark. It's a perfect picture of a refuge. They were in the ark. The wrath of God was poured out like a flood on the whole world. And I'll tell you, Noah survived the wrath of God. Why? Because the ark was his refuge. The ark took the brunt of the wrath of God for them. I've often used the illustration. You're in a building. If it's raining outside, what is the building doing? It's taking the rain. You're not getting wet. Noah didn't get wet. No, the ark did. We didn't suffer the wrath of God. Christ did. Christ endured the wrath of God in our stead. He is our refuge. Our refuge. Christ is our refuge from all judgment. Consider this. He has quenched the wrath of God. His blood has silenced the wrath of God against us. Christ, by His blood, has satisfied the wrath of God forever for all His people. So then, Paul says this, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God is your refuge, what could be against you? What could be against you? Therefore, God says, we will not fear. We will not fear the justice of God, for Christ has satisfied all the justice of God for the guilt of our sin. He was the highest and strongest of men, the holiest and righteous of men, and yet God hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. In His body He bore our sin. In His body He suffered the wrath of God for us. Over in Psalm 69, He said this, He said, the waters are come into my soul. Psalm 69:1, the waters are come into my soul. I sink in the deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. You see, even then he had faith. Even then he trusted God. Even then, when the wrath of God was consuming in his soul, he still looked to God. He said, they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me or mine enemies wrongfully are mighty. Listen, then I restored. I restored that which I took not away. He reconciled us to God. That's what His death did. It reconciled us to God. It atoned for all our sins. Now then, what? He hath made peace with God by the blood of His cross. Why then should we fear the justice of God? Why should we fear, though He take away the whole world with it? Though He consume all men by His justice, we will not fear. Christ is our refuge. He bore our sins away. Therefore, God says, I will. This is a sovereign determination. I will remember their sins and iniquities no more. I will not remember your sins anymore. Not one. Not one. In fact, I will forgive your iniquities. I will forgive your transgression. I will forgive your sin. This is God's willful determination. And He is able to do that because Christ bore them away. You know, I love the picture of the scapegoat. What a wonderful sight it was to watch that man bear that scapegoat away. All of my sins were confessed on. Figure the picture. All of Israel was watching. All of the sins were being confessed on that goat. The other goat was killed. They put it on that strong man and he just kept walking. And as he was walking, it was going further and further and further away until it couldn't be seen anymore. What a picture. What a picture. All my sins, God Himself cannot see them anymore. He bore them away. We sing that hymn, O soul, are you weary and troubled? Are you weary and troubled by your sin as I am? I am troubled by my sin. I am troubled by my unbelief. I am troubled by my spiritual indifference. I'm convicted often about my sin. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see? Listen, there's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Free from what? Free from sin. Free from the wrath of God. Christ bore away our sin. You see this by faith that He is our shelter. He is our refuge. Now then, I want you to see, conversely, there is, instead of a sea of justice, there is a river of gladness. Look at this in verse 4. He said, instead of fearing the sea, what? There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Tonight, if God by His grace would give you two things, I want these that you don't fear, but rather I want you to be glad. I want you to see the gladness, the joy that is yours. And this joy is pictured in this river. There is a river that gives the children of God refreshment. There is a river that supplies strength encouragement. It is a river of life. Go to the book of Revelation. Go to the book of Revelation. Look at chapter 22. Chapter 22. Now, in the book of Revelation, John in chapter 20 deals with the judgment of God. He says that all men will be standing before this great throne of the sea of God's justice. They'll be standing before the great white throne, all men that has ever lived. They'll be raised up, and the books will be opened. And in those books are written all of the works of men. And God said, I'll judge you out of those books. Every man should be judged according to his work. But see, my hope is in the other book. There's another book open, he says, which is the book of life. That's the book of refuge. That's the ones who are named in the book of refuge. That's the one, that book that Christ took from the hand of God with the seven seals. That's that book. And he opened that book. I'm glad he opened that book because there's hope for those in that book. And he says those who were not found in that book were cast into the what? The lake of fire, the sea of God's justice. Who are those in that other book? They are the elect of God. They are the ones in Christ. Did they not sin? Yes, they sinned. Were they not guilty? Yes, they were guilty. But you know what happened is that Christ was their refuge. Christ had blotted out their transgressions in those other books. All our transgressions in those other books, you know what is covered? It's covered in red blood. He blotted them out. And in their stead of our works of sin, what is written are the works of Christ. All of His righteousness is imputed and charged to our account in that day. And what John saw after that, he saw in chapter 21. Look at that in chapter 21, verse 20. He says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth were passed away. And what's the first thing he saw? There was no more what? There was no more sea. There's no more sea. You think that's accidental? There's no more sea. What does that mean? No more sea. No more justice. No more judgment. The wrath of God is gone. It's past. No more separation. Isn't that what the sea did? It separated John from everyone else. He's on that little island by himself. It separated him from... No more separation from God. No more separation from His people. No more decay. No more change. No more curse. No more sin. God will dwell in the midst of them. And then he noticed this other thing in chapter 22. Look at this. And he said, instead of a sea, what did he see? He showed me a pure river of water of life. It's a river of water of life. It's pure. It's clear as crystal. Notice its source. Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And notice its course. In the midst of the street of it, there's on either side of the river a tree of life that bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. You know what that's? This is a perpetual, constant, life-giving river. Constantly yielding its fruit every season. And notice this, there's healing in this river. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. This river is the same river of gladness in our text. It's the same river. In our text it says there is a river wherever that makes it glad. The city of God. This river that John is talking about, who's that going to benefit? Well, it only benefits the elect, doesn't it? In our text it says it only benefits the city of God. Only those who have God as their refuge have this river of gladness given to them. And the source is the same. John in Revelation said it came out of the throne of God. In our text it says the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. What is that? That's the place where God dwelt. You see, the source of this river is God Himself. It is the source. So I want to see a few things that will make us glad about this river. First of all, this should make you glad. It is a river of life. It is a river of life. The river of life and refreshment to the children of God. Notice in John's account, it is a pure river. It is clear as crystal. It is pure. It is a holy river. It is a river of life. It is a river of great joy and gladness to the city of God. That's because this river is Christ. He is the water of life. He is the river of life. Is He not the source of all spiritual life? John says, in Him was life. And He was the light of men. Everyone who drinks of Christ has what? Life. Spiritual, eternal life. Go to John 4. John chapter 4. Our Lord speaks of this. He's the one that gives this water of life. You remember He's with talking to that woman at the well. He's talking to that woman at the well and He said, give me something to drink. And she said, you don't have anything to take water? And He said this in verse 10. He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that said to thee, give me drink, you would ask of Him and He would have given you living water. And she said, you ain't got nothing to draw from. I'm not talking about this well. He tells her what it is. He said in verse 14, whoso drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And in John chapter 7, he even clarifies this. John chapter 7 and verse 37. He said in the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and what? Drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit. The Spirit of God. You that believe, you have this river of water of life flowing in you. In you. You have the Spirit of God given to you. You are born of the Spirit of God. And listen, you didn't have to merit this. You didn't have to earn this. This was given to you. Freely given. And that last part of Revelation, that's the message of Christ and His church. Come. Drink of the water of life. How? Freely. Freely. We didn't earn this. We didn't merit this. And so it is with this river of water of life. It makes us glad. He is the water of all spiritual life, and all who drink Him by faith drink His blood and righteousness shall never thirst of righteousness again. We shall never be tried again for our sins. You see, the justice of God is not something to fear. It's something to be glad about. I'm very glad that God is just, aren't you? You know why? Because He cannot demand twice payment for sin. He cannot demand twice payment. God hath received of Christ's hand double for all our sins. So then, believer, get this. Because of this water of life, God has given us the very righteousness of Christ in us. When He's given you a new nature, He gave you a holy nature. You know what John says? He says in John 1, 1 John 1 and 4 and verse 17, He says, as He is, because of this river, because this river has cleansed you, because the river of His blood has washed away your sins. Listen to this. As He is, how is He? How is Christ tonight? Is He holy? Is He righteous? As He is, so are we in this present world. I definitely wouldn't say that if it wasn't written in Holy Scripture. I wouldn't dare tell you that. But as He is, so are we in this present world. Because of the river water of life, because of His righteousness, we are made righteous. He has created us a holy nature without sin. Believer, let us not be tossed about by every wind of doctrine, but rather rejoice in the stream of God's salvation. This river of water of life that He has given to us. Second, this river of Christ makes us glad because it's all of God. Aren't you glad this river's of God? Aren't you glad life and salvation are of God? Isn't that what John said? This river flowed from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Paul says, but of God are you in the refuge in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God made Him all of those things for us. This river's of God. Therefore, it's pure. It's holy. It proceeded from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It was God who purposed and decreed our salvation in Christ. It was the sovereign will of God to set His love on us. It was God's good pleasure to send His Son into the world to redeem us from the curse of the law. It was God who was with Christ. It was God who upheld Him. It was Christ who came and accomplished our redemption, wasn't it? He came to accomplish the will of God and ratify the covenant by His blood. He then sent His Holy Spirit after He'd finished His work. He sent His Holy Spirit into the world. God raised Him from the dead, set Him on the throne, glorified Him, and He said, Father, glorify Me with the glory I had with Thee from the beginning. Well, for what purpose? He said in John 17 and verse, He said He had given Him power over all flesh that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Therefore, what? This river of water of life, it flowed to you. You and I were dead. We were dead. We could not come to this river. We would not have come to this river. But thank God this river came to you. One day you were lying in the mush pit of your sins. You were lying in the Dead Sea. No life. And this river flowed into your heart and gave you life. Gave you faith in Christ. And what do we say? We say, praise God. Thanks be unto God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. We give thanks and we give glory to God. Therefore, this river flows from God. Listen to this. We can be glad of this. Because it flows from God, we know this. It will never cease. It will never cease. It will never end. This river is an eternal, constant river. Christ said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. I give unto him. And I give unto him. And I give unto him. You thirsty? You thirsty? Do you need forgiveness of sins? How often do you need forgiveness? With me, it is a constant, perpetual need of cleansing. That's good, because I give unto Him that is athirst of the water of life freely. Do you realize every time you ask for forgiveness, He gives it freely? You understand that? Every time you ask. Matter of fact, it's preemptive forgiveness. It's forgiven before you even ask for forgiveness. John says His blood cleanseth us from all our sin. Constant, perpetual. That's why it's called a river and not a pond. That's why it's not called a lake. It's called a river because a river by nature constantly what? Flows. This river of water of life that flowed to us is constantly flowing to us. Constantly refreshing. Constantly cleansing. It is forever. Be glad. God will never send the sea of His wrath. He will always send the river of mercy to you. Always. Always. I don't feel like I deserve it. Doesn't matter. You didn't deserve it to begin with. Yet He still gives it. He still gives it. If you were to read this, and I don't have time, but if you were to read this in Ezekiel 47, Ezekiel 47 talks about this river. Ezekiel the prophet, he goes to the tabernacle and he sees a trickle of water coming out of the tabernacle. And as he follows it along, it gets bigger and wider. And pretty soon, the water comes up to his ankles. And then the water comes up to his knees. And he measures some more and it comes up to his waist. And measures some more. And then it's all of a sudden, it overflows him. The river is massive. It's wide. When the Word of God began to speak of Christ, it came out as a little trickle, didn't it? The seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent. Then He gave that sacrifice to cover their nakedness. And then you come a little down the river, down the path a little ways, and the river gets a little deeper to the ankles, and you see the Passover. It gets a little deeper, and you see David, and you see the type of Christ when he slays Goliath, and you see the prophecies getting more and more. And when Christ came, what? It's a river. I understand all now of the Old Testament types and shadows by seeing Christ. He's the fulfillment. He's the fullness of the river. And in Ezekiel 47 and verse 8, He said unto me, these waters that issue toward the east country and go down to the desert, listen, they go into the sea. Which being brought forth into the sea, listen, the waters shall be healed. The waters shall be healed. When this river flowed into the justice of God, when Christ came and satisfied the justice of God, the waters were healed. I think of the waters of Marah. Remember that? Those bitter waters they could not taste. They could not drink. They would die. If we were to go to God, what would we receive? Bitter waters. But what happened? He put through the tree in the water. And the waters were made sweet. When Christ was crucified, guess what now? The justice of God is sweet. We can drink. John, when he sees the sea in Revelation 4, He said, it's a sea like in the glass. No ripple. Why? Because the river healed it. Christ healed it. And listen, wherever this river flowed, there was life. In verse 9, He said, and it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river come, it shall live. And there shall be a great multitude of fish because the waters shall come thither. And they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall come upon it from En-Gedi even unto Eglaim. And they shall be a place to spread forth nets, and the fish shall be according to their kind, the fish of the great sea exceeding many. You know, En-Gedi and Eglaim, you know what that is? It's a Dead Sea. From the beginning of the Dead Sea to the end of the Dead Sea, what? There's going to be life. Why? The river flowed into it. When Christ comes into the heart of man, what? There's life. There's life. And I'm sure of this. And I'm glad that this river, because it shall never be taken away. It shall never be moved from us. If God has given you life, He'll never take it away. If God has given you faith, He'll only increase it. It will endure if it is God-given faith. And I'm sure, and I'm glad of this too, that God, wherever this river goes, there's life. And I know this, that everyone that God has purposed to save, He will save. I don't know where this river's going. Wherever it goes, there'll be life. Whoever God intends to save, He will save. And they'll come in and drink with us. We who enjoy this river, they'll come in and enjoy it with us. They'll be glad for it too. I'm so thankful God has removed our fear. The fear of the wrath of God. How? By Christ being our refuge. And conversely, He has given us not a sea of fear, but a river of gladness. Christ is the river. Christ is the river. The river of life. The river of righteousness. The river of God's peace. Our hope, our joy. And this river of life, it's of God. It's of God. And because it's of God, it'll never cease. Constant, perpetual cleansing and forgiveness are given to all God's people. And I know that God will save His people. This river will continue until the end. Until all of His people are brought in. And then guess what? We'll enjoy this river for eternity. That's what John saw. He saw it after everything was done. He saw the river was still there. The river was still there, yielding its fruit. I pray God will give you peace and joy and gladness. Our Father, I pray that You'd bless Your Word. I pray that You would give us joy and peace in Christ, that we should constantly look to Him, depend upon Him, honor Him. Thank You for this river of life that You've caused to flow into our hearts to give us faith and love for Thee. And Father, I pray that You'd give us grace to constantly drink of Christ. I'm so thankful that it'll never run dry. Forgive us our sins and lead us as we go. Bring us back again to worship You. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.